Hello everyone, my name is Ms. Lalita Dorenda Williams, the author of Be Strong, Stay Strong, and Escape from Hate Land. My most recent publications is a series entitled Contemplating a Sip of Satan's Sweet Tea. All of them have the same title but different subheaders. Well, welcome back to a Monday episode of Keep It Simple. And as you can tell, Lalita sounds so much better since her last episode. I thank all of my listeners and followers, including those who are Bible believers, who prayed for your podcaster because I was having a moment, yes, when I finally saw the love of my life with his arms wrapped around another woman. And I can't blame him. I'll tell y'all like the backstory sometime later. I'll go ahead and tell y'all the backstory now that I feel better. I was talking about a relationship from 20 years ago. So, of course, I can't blame old boy for going on with this life. And his wife seems to be simply splendid. I'm not just saying that to be nice or because she may hear this one day. But I really mean it. She really looked like a cool gal. And I know she got a phenomenal husband because he was a sweetheart. So now with all of the emotion out of the way, let me tell you how it went down. I'm actually thinking about turning this into a book entitled Him or The Lie That Cost Me. Whatever. I'll think about it depending on what my audience say. If it's yay or a nay. If it is, it'll more so be a memoir. I know, racy, right? But hey, I'm a good girl. It's going to end on a good note. Okay, so this is what had happened. This is totally different from what I came on to conduct my podcast, to make my... This is completely off topic, and I'm glad I did not give a topic for this Keep It Simple series episode. So I'm going to go ahead and give one. It is entitled The Reason Why I Was Stuck on Him. How about that? I hope you like it. Okay, so picture this. I'm having a Golden Girls, the mom moment, where she talks about, picture this, 1939 Sicily. Okay, well, picture this. It's 1997, 98, somewhere in there. In Detroit, Michigan. East Side, yes. So, I was in a relationship with this guy who was like 10 years older than me, and he was super possessive, super jealous, paying people to watch me, stalking me, all of this different stuff. So when I moved without letting him know that I had moved, that's how I found out he had someone watching me, because he found out exactly where I was staying. He bought me a car. He ended up taking that back. He got into my apartment that I had moved into, got some things. And so since that Negro did not have his stuff in order and the lights, gas, water was in my name where I was staying at when I was with him. And yes, public service announcement. This was during my backslidden state. So yes, I was staying with the guy I was not married to. I was not trying to stay with him because another part of that story is that he got me put out of the place where I was staying because it was just a hot mess. And so I was only staying with him temporarily, and that temporary situation turned into almost a little over 2 years. Hot mess. It's so much easier to leave a person when you're not living with them. So I had to tell you that. Please don't live with anyone you are not married to. Okay, now back to the story. So he ended up getting into my apartment, stealing some things, and I was going to be nice. I was going to be nice, and if someone is like, well, how do you know it was him? Well, I know it was him because I had just moved there. I was getting stuff in order, and I didn't have curtains yet or had something thin, and I happened to look out the window, and it was at night, and I saw his car pull up along with the co-worker, and he walked over to the car he had purchased for me and pulled it around a corner. And I guess he had his co-worker with him so he could drive the other car. And I'm thinking, okay, well, sweet. You must have came for the car. You can have it because the title was still in his name. I actually thought about forging his signature on the title, and I'm like, Lolita, you ain't trying to do no time. So I didn't do that. He ended up getting his car back. So I'm thinking that's it. So then I saw him walking towards the apartment building. So at that point, I panicked and I ran out of my apartment. I ran down to the the landlord's office, and he wasn't there, but his girlfriend was there. And so I told her what happened, and she was like, okay, you can stay in my apartment for a moment. And so after a while I managed to go back up to my apartment, and I saw that he had stole some things, and I figured that was the end of that. But because he did that, I was like, okay, Lolita is not about to be a good girl, especially as a backslidden Christian. So I went ahead the next day. I called DTE. I'm like, cut it off. I called Consumers Energy, and I was like, cut it off. I called any and everything that was in my name over there. I'm like, cut it off. So I made sure that Negro was up in there with no lights, no water, no heat. Yes, Lolita did that. Not to be bragging, but yeah, I did that. And at that time, I was only 22 years young. So yeah, I was with them since I was, when I had turned 20. So when I did that, he ended up coming back to my apartment the next day. And the reason why he was able to get into the building is because he used to be a building maintenance manager where we used to live downtown on the 21st, 22nd floor of Washington Boulevard, off the corner of Washington Boulevard and State. And so apparently he didn't turn in all the keys, because you know, anyone who works in that particular field normally has a ghost key that can pretty much fit almost any lock. So apparently he didn't turn in all his keys. So he couldn't come in through the front door, but the key worked for the back door. And that's how he was able to gain access into the building I had moved into. So while I'm in the apartment and I hear someone knock on the door, and I call down to the landlord, and I was like, you know, is you or Mr. Gregory, you know, Mr. Gregory, or, you know, is he knocking at my door? She's like, no, he's not here. It was his girlfriend. And so I was like, well, would you mind coming to see who's knocking on my door? And so she spoke to me through the door. She's like, it's me, but you know, it's a guy who's here trying to see you. And I was like, how do we look? She's like, he's tall, dark, bald head. I said, no, I don't want to see him. And so she told me the next day that he was like literally freaking out. He had his gun in his hand. He's going all through the building, going through the basement and everything. She was really scared. And so that was when I went ahead and asked an ex-boyfriend from high school who was working for an automotive plant. He was going to Lawrence Tech to become an engineer. I asked him if I could borrow $20 so I could go down to the city county building and file a restraining order. So this is all of the madness that Lolita has went through at the age of 22. It pays not to do whatever it is you want to do. So he ended up going to my parents' house. I already told my parents what was going on, and my parents were like, you know, she got a restraining order on y'all. The police pile came over, and it's like, look, she got a restraining order on you. You better not come near her house, her parents' house, her place of employment, or you will be sent to jail. So it was like a month and a half later, I ended up, you know, reconnecting with some ladies from high school, and we would keep in touch. And one of them said that she was going to come to my apartment so we could hang out. I happened to be off from work that day because I had started working at Eastland Mall in Harper Woods, Michigan. And so I'm like, Kitty didn't come over yet. Now, rather than me taking my butt to church, if I would have took my butt to church that day, I never would have met this guy. Not the guy who was doing all this crazy stuff, trying to break in my apartment and stuff, but the one that I was boohooing about, borderline boohooing about in my last podcast. And so I'm like, I wonder why she didn't come over yet. So I didn't call. I just went ahead and I caught the grad ship bus down to Shane, and I kept going back and forth like, no, maybe I shouldn't go. And I was like, well, let me go ahead. And so I got down there, and then I'm thinking to myself, like, the Shane bus isn't coming yet. Well, maybe I should just go back home. Well, maybe I should just go ahead and go over there. I literally just kept going back and forth the entire time about if I should go to her house or not. I had on this beautiful purple and greenish, like, spaghetti strap sundress that was long flowing, and so I decided I'll go ahead and walk the rest of the way to her house. By the time I got there, another young lady that we went to high school with, they were all getting dressed super fast. They was looking super cute. And I was like, what's going on? I'm sitting there watching them trying to put on their heels and sleek, tight outfits and hair done up and everything. And they're like, girl, there's a festival going on at Hart Plaza. And I'm like, oh, for real? I was like, okay, well, you don't mind taking me home so I could go ahead and change? And they're like, no, girl, we don't mind. So they went ahead and got dressed. I didn't do anything to my hair during that time. I was totally not into makeup. The only makeup I would wear would maybe be some lipstick, eyeliner, mascara. That was it. I didn't have any makeup on. I didn't even have on earrings. I just changed into like a wraparound V-cut burgundy and white sundress that was super long. You know, and I had on flat sandals because I'm like, we're going to Hart Plaza. I'm going to be comfortable. So we ended up walking around downtown and at Hart Plaza. And so one of the young ladies, I'm going to give them nicknames so I don't give them away, because you never know who listens to Lalita's podcast, right? So let's just say the other young lady's name was Lucy. So Lucy, she ends up seeing some guy she used to talk to or really like, and she just took off running. And I'm looking like, what's going on? I see Lucy running, and then the other young lady who was, you know, equivalent to my best friend, let's just say her name was Kay. So then Kay is running behind Lucy, and then I'm running behind Kay like, okay, what's going on? Why did these two ladies just start running through a crowd of people like that? And if anyone is familiar with festivals at Hart Plaza in Detroit, Michigan, let me tell you, during the main alleyway of the Hart Plaza is when there's almost a sea of people where you literally cannot walk through the crowd without someone bumping you or shoving you, because there's just so many people down the main aisle. And so while Lucy is running, and I gotta try to remember these people's names while Lucy is running, and I don't know what I named the other one. Did I name her Katie? I guess so. And Katie is running behind Lucy, and so I'm running behind Katie, and then I see this tall, oh my gosh, a super attractive guy. He wore glasses. I am into glasses. I just feel like it just adds something to a guy. That's just me. And so Lucy stopped behind him, and then Katie stopped behind him. And so when I stopped like borderline behind him, but like almost on the side of him, but more so behind him. And so Katie was asking Lucy, like, girl, what's wrong with you? Why you started running? She was like, oh my gosh, I saw such and such. And we was looking at her like, really? We thought we were grown, you know, 22 years old, you know, thinking we grown. It's like, girl, we grown. What you doing running from a man? Whatever. You know, I was not I was a backslidden Christian at that time. So I didn't say man. I said the N word. I did. And so I kept noticing I would feel a shadow, then I would feel the sun. Then I would feel a shadow, then I would feel the sun. And so I happened to look out my peripheral, and this guy, every time he turned his head to face me, you know, he was blocking the sun and he would look at me, and then when he would turn his head back around, then the sun was shining on me. And so that happened like 2-3 times. So eventually his best friend who was with him, his cousin / best friend, he was like, "Excuse me, miss." He was like, "Hi, my name is such and such." And I was being rude on purpose, I admit. I was rude because I felt like, okay, if the tall, lanky one wants me, then he gonna have to work for it. I'm not about to make it easy, especially since he didn't reach out to me verbally first. And so when his cousin / best friend was like, "Hi, you know, my name is such and such, and your name?" And I was like, "Is that the name your mother named you?" And I wouldn't shake his hand. And he just kind of looked at me like, "You evil witch." And so I had an attitude on purpose too, just to make it more challenging. And so that was when his cousin, who kept looking at me, that's when he leaned down. He was like, "Well, what's the name your mother named you?" And I whipped my head around and I looked up and I said, "Lolita." He was like, "Okay, Lolita, my name is," you know, he told me his name. And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And then he grabbed my hand and he looked at it. He was like, "You ain't married, are you?" I'm like, "No." And he was like, "Okay, because I don't play that." And I'm like, "Okay." And my friends started noticing what's going on. They're like, "Nah, Lolita, she is straight. She don't roll like that. Her, you know, she don't roll like that." And so then he was like, "Okay." He was like, "Well, I've only been up here for about a month and a half. You know, I'm from the South." And I'm like, "Really?" And he was like, "Yeah." So he this dude took out his driver's license to show me. And I'm thinking to myself, like, why is he doing that? He don't got to do that. He was like, "See, my driver's license still show, you know, when I was living down South." He was like, "I haven't even been up here long enough to change my driver's license over and everything." I was like, "Oh, okay." And so, you know, we were talking. He was like, "You know, you don't mind if I get your number?" I said, "No, I don't mind." And so we exchanged numbers and I'm walking away and I'm like, "Oh my gosh." I was like, he was really nice. And he was so cute. And so my thing is, we're at a festival downtown Detroit, Heart Plaza. So I'm thinking to myself, like, he probably just down here pulling numbers from different chicks. So I'm like, if I see him again and he stopped me, I was like, then I know he's serious. So we're walking around and then we're near the pit of Heart Plaza, which is where the stage and the band, it goes down. And there was this group singing, you know, "Their Life Going Down, Life Going Up in Smoke." I know it sounds terrible now, but that was the jam then. They had just came out. And so I saw him standing there with two of the other guys he was with. And so this time his back was to us and we're getting ready to walk past him. So I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, if I walk past him and he just let me walk by, I'm like, then I'm not even gonna put no stock in this. But if he stopped me, you know, and asked me to come back or, you know, whatever, I was like, then I know he's really kind of feeling me. So I'm getting ready to walk by and I walk past him and I just kind of look over my shoulder to wave and he waved me back like, "What, man, come back, come back." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, so he is feeling Lolita. He is digging me." So I went ahead and I came back and we talked some more and everything. He was like, "So where are you headed from here?" And I was like, "We headed to Greektown." He was like, "Greektown?" He was like, "Where's that?" I was like, "It's only a few blocks away. We headed to Pizza Populous." He was like, "All right." He was like, "It wouldn't be a problem if I, you know, call you sooner, would I?" Said, "No, it wouldn't be a problem at all." So I went ahead and I walked away and I was so anxious. I'm trying to get Lucy and Katie. I'm like, "All right, come on, we gotta hurry up and get to Greektown so we can get to Heart Plaza." I'm like, "He probably there waiting for me now." And I know I probably got on their nerves, but fortunately they listened to me. I don't recall if we walked over there or drove over there, because Heart Plaza and Greektown was just as bad, where you just had, there's barely any parking, all of these people everywhere. During that time, there was Trapper's Alley. For those Detroiters, you know what I'm talking about. And so I wanted us to sit in the front at Pizza Populous because I was like, I want to see him when he pull up or when he walk up or whatever. And then I was like, forget it. I was like, you know, all of the tables near the front was taken. So we ended up going to the back so we could go ahead and order the pizza for takeout. And so we're back there looking at the menu, deciding what deep dish pizza we were going to go in on. And then Katie, she leaned over to me. She was like, Lalita, there go your boy. There go your boy. And I was like, what? I looked. He was already there sitting there waiting for me. And he had already taken his glasses off. And I'm sitting there looking like, oh, wow. So I go over to sit by him and, you know, he talking to me and everything. He's like, you know what? He's like, it's real hard to believe that you are not with anyone. I said, well, to be honest with you, I said I was with someone about a month and a half ago. I said, but, you know, and I broke off the engagement. He is like, why? I said, I can't marry someone I don't love. And he is like, oh, okay, he's sitting there. He's like, so where you headed from here? And I was like, we headed to Belle Isle. He was like, where is that? And I said, it's a park, but it's an island that's not far from here. We're just going to go there to chill. He was like, oh, okay. And so said some other things and things like that. And he was like, all right. You know, he hugged me. And I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, Lalita, he's a good guy from a small town down south. Behave, behave, behave. I have to keep telling myself to behave. Because by this time, I'm like, I done already saw this man three times. And each time, the aura was just, he was such a sweet southern gentleman across the board. So my friends made fun of me because I was riding in the back seat while they was in the front seat while we was driving around Belle Isle. And by this time it's getting dark and it's during the summertime. Close to the summertime, but the weather was really, really nice. And I was just in a daydream. For real, for real. So, needless to say, we would talk on the phone and almost felt like I lost him because he was like, well, how old are you? And I'm like, I'm 22, saying it like it's nothing. And he was like, oh. And I'm thinking to myself, like, that's only a 2-year age difference. But I was like, but I'll be 23 in November. He was like, oh, okay. So I'm like, all right. So that's letting me know he's totally not in the girls. That's too young. Although he was 24 already and I was going on 23. So we were seeing each other. We ended up falling in love. He had a child that he would bring with him. And then one day his child told me, after seeing me a few times, he ended up telling me he think he's going to call me his stepmom. And I'm like, you're 4. It's like, what do you know what a stepmom is? And I went and I told his dad, like, do you know what your son just said to me? He said he's going to start calling me a stepmom. And he didn't say anything. He just kind of smiled and laughed to himself. And we talked on the phone and he proposed to me and it was just beautiful, but the timing just sucked because I had literally just got out of that situation with the older possessive crazy guy and he had just gotten out of a situation with the woman he believed was his child's father who put him through some uncomfortable things that he had never experienced in life. And then on top of that, moving to a state he wasn't too familiar with and trying to find a job and not having steady income and having vehicle problems and still trying to drive down with a bad engine to come see me and then still in the company vehicle to come see me and catching a Greyhound to come see me. And at certain points I would be like, do he really care about me? And then Katie would be like, girl, ain't no dude trying to steal the company vehicle or catch a Greyhound down here just to be with someone they don't like. And I remember the one time he mentioned that he could probably take the company vehicle because his boss trusted him with it, you know, he ended up calling me and telling me, you know, he wasn't able to do it because, you know, things changed. But before that, I had let him know that the front door lock was being changed, so he wouldn't have to ring the buzzer. He could just come up. So while I'm talking to him on the phone, while he's saying, you know, baby, I wasn't able to come see you. And I'm like, well, that's okay. You know, I understand. Someone is banging on my door loud. And I'm like, who the heck is this? So I'm like, hold on. So I went to the door and I'm like, who is it? And there's a guy on the other end talking about, baby, it's me. And I'm like, I think you had a wrong apartment. Okay. And I got back on the phone and he was like, baby, what's going on? I was like, oh, nothing. I said, someone had the wrong apartment. And so he was like, oh, okay. And so then he started banging on the door even harder. And I'm like, such and such, hold on. And I went to the door and I'm like, sir, what do you want? And the guy was like, I want you. And I was like, oh my God. I was starting to panic. And so my sweetheart, he was on the phone like, baby, it's me. And I'm like, what? And then the phone went dead. And then on the opposite end of the door, I'm hearing someone, you know, talking about, baby, it's me. Baby, it's me. Open the door. And I cracked it open. I could have hit him, smacked him, whatever. I was like, how dare you scare me like that? And so, oh my gosh, he was the sweetest. The absolute sweetest. Oh my gosh, he was just so sweet. And so, I know you want to know, how did a relationship so sweet come to an end? Well, it ended up coming to an end, I believe, because I was impatient. Because when we first, you know, we would talk on the phone for a while before we actually saw each other. And where his head was, wasn't where my head was. He was very, very mature for his age because he had to go through things I did not experience. I didn't know what it was like to have a child, be a parent. I didn't know what it was like to have, you know, be already living on your own, going to college, things like that. I didn't know what it was like to have to I don't want to say be a man, because that'll never happen. I'm a woman. But being that solid source of support for those that you love, I had no knowledge of any of that. So when he would say things to me in the beginning, when we first were together, he would ask me questions I really couldn't answer him. He would ask me things such as, did God send you to me? And I think to myself, like, what manner of man is this? I'm like, I've never ran across a dude who talked to me like this. You know, he would say things like, you know, I want you, but it wasn't in a sexual way. He wanted me to be his. He would, throughout the relationship in the early stages, he would express to me how he was afraid that someone was going to take me from him. And I'm like, no one can take me from you but God. Well, how does a relationship like that end? It ends when you have someone who's ready but not ready. He wanted to be with me. He wanted to be straightforward and honest with me with what he wanted. And when I felt like he was getting to the point where he was getting ready to share his love for me, but that he wasn't ready, I didn't want to hear the he wasn't ready part. And so because of that, I believe that he would be around, pull away, be around, pull away. And then we started getting super, super close once I expressed how I felt. Like, look, you know, either this is what you want or it isn't. And so he made up his mind immediately. That's what he wanted. And we were super cool, super tight while he was still trying to get his financial situation in order. But then here comes the new year. Here comes the new year. We get a chance to see each other a couple of times. And for some reason, until this day, I still don't know why I ended up going to church like a few days later. because we saw each other the first week of the new year, and then we saw each other, I think, like the second week of the new year. And then I ended up going to church like that Sunday. And I haven't been to church in years at that point. At least probably, you know, a year and a half or so. So I end up going to church. Well, actually, I remember why it was over a year since I had went to church. Because the older guy that I was with, oh my gosh, so possessive. I wanted to go to church. And he dropped me off at church and he told me to call him when I was ready and he would pick me up. And so, you know, we're in churches during the summertime. It's like 90 plus degrees outside. Church was over with and I'm fellowshipping with people there. And I went ahead and used the church office phone to call him, let him know that that service was over with. And as soon as I hung up the phone and came back into the sanctuary to talk to the pastor, my 86-year-old pastor, I turned and I looked and he was standing in the doorway of the church, you know, tall, dark, bald head, super, super dark. He had his shirt unbuttoned almost to the navel. He was drenched in sweat. Eyes looked bloodshot. He looked like Satan. He looked like Satan. And so I told my pastor, I was like, okay, I'll see you later. Gotta go back. And I hurried up and I ran out of there. I was so embarrassed about how that guy was looking. And so when I got in the car, he told me, he was like, we spend too much time together. And I'm thinking to myself, like, why you say that? He was like, because I didn't go anywhere. As soon as you went in there for church, I just sat out here and waited until church was over with. Then I got angry because I'm thinking to myself, like, N-word, you mean to tell me you sat out here in this super hot, humid Detroit, Michigan weather rather than coming into the church where there's fans and air conditioning? I was outdone. So because of that, and I was so embarrassed, I didn't even go back to church until a year and a half later after I had met my sweetheart, my tall, handsome, super sweet prince. Regardless to how he looked, the fact that he was super sweet and kind and attentive to me. He spoke my it's like we spoke each other's love languages. He just, oh my gosh, super sweet. So now I'm back to when I finally decided to go to church. And I don't remember how I got there. I don't remember why I went there. And so here it is. Now my pastor is 87 years old. And service, it's pretty much over with, and they're doing an altar call, and I'm sitting there. I am not trying to go up there, because at that time, small churches, if they haven't saw you in a while, they pretty much figured that you backslid. And so she just would not close out service. And so she kept trying to get me to come up there. She asked me to come up there. I came up there. And so she kept trying to get, she's like, please come back to the Lord. And I didn't want to do it because I did not want to, what I felt would be losing my sweetheart. And I mean, well, to be honest with you, I didn't want to come back to God because I still want to have the sex. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like a taste of heaven on earth. So I'm like, no, if I come back to God, I can't do that anymore until I get married. And it ain't no telling when that's going to happen. So the answer is no, Alex, for $20. So, but she just would not let up. She just kept pulling on me, pulling on me, pulling on me, pulling on me, pulling on me. And so then I'm thinking to myself, like, Lord, I said, you got to take my boyfriend away from me. I'm like, he's just too heavy for me to carry. And when I say too heavy, I couldn't deal with the not being able to be in touch with him all the time because of his financial situation. Sometimes his phone would be on, sometimes it would get cut off. And I don't mean cut off like, you know, a busy signal. I'm talking about it's cut off like you know, his service was cut off because he couldn't pay the bill. Now, this is back in the day where everyone had a landline, because you mainly either had a pager or a cell phone. And cell phones at that time, you had to wait until, 9 o'clock? Depending on your plan, but those were minute phones at that time. And so I just couldn't deal with not being able to talk to my sweetheart as often as I wanted to, or be with him as often as I wanted to, because although he was in Michigan, he was in a deep suburb of Michigan that was not really close to Detroit. So it took a moment for him to see me or whatever. And so constantly going through that, and then thinking about what he said when he proposed to me, I was like, you know what, Lord, I said, you got to take him from me because he's too heavy for me to carry. And so when my then pastor, Pastor Marguerite Stevens, she pleaded with me, and she almost borderline getting ready to cry. And she's like, please don't leave here the same way you came in. And when she said that, I'm like, okay, Lord, okay, Jesus, I'm coming back. And I just went ahead and let Jesus come back in my life that day. And then my sweetheart, the love of my life, he ended up leaving that same month, that following week, to go back down south without telling me. Yep. So, I remember I even wrote a poem about it, where even if he was wondering why did things end the way it did, in my poem I added that I asked the Lord to take you away from me, and that is why things ended the way they did. Eventually, about 2 weeks later, he ended up calling me while he was down there, and I asked him, and why did you leave without telling me? And he let me know about what had transpired and things like that, and, you know, that he would call me. And you know the drill. If you listen to the last podcast, he ended up calling me another 2 weeks later, 9 days before his birthday. And he was super silent. And I'm like, okay, look, I know you ain't calling me just to sit on the phone and breathe and listen to me breathe. What's going on? And so that's when he shared with me that he left a piece of his heart with me. And, you know, and he would talk to me later. And then it was like another almost two months later when he called back. And at this time, I was not a happy camper, because I'm like, how you gonna propose to someone and then you want to be with them, but yet you move out of town without telling them? Although I told God to remove you, take you from me because it was too heavy. But that's beside the point. The point is, you love me, and you're showing these, you're not being consistent with communicating with me, but yet you still keep communicating with me, but it's not consistent. And so by the third time he did that, where it was just 2 months later when he spoke to me, and I'm like, okay, why haven't I heard from you in so long? And when I asked him three times, this is when I lied to him. And regardless to the things he shared, regardless to the things I shared or talked about, I never lied to him. And this is the time I lied to him. This is the first time I lied to him, and I told him, I said, you know what? I said, since I have not heard from you in so long, I assumed that you went on with your life, so I went on with mine. Because I wanted to hurt him, because I was hurt, upset, and angry. He said he would be back in town and that we could talk. And I said, sure, we can talk. And I never saw him again. Although he called every Payless in Detroit, Michigan, looking for me, but I wasn't working in Detroit. I was working in the suburbs of Detroit, but he didn't know that. He even came to my apartment, rung my buzzer once, and would run back to his car because he didn't know if I was in a relationship. He wasn't trying to start no drama. And how did I find this out? Because one of my friends worked for Ameritech at that time. And so the phone company and everyone had a landline. And so she told me one day, she was like, you know what? I got curious. This is like 4 years later. She was like, I got curious and I decided to look up his name. And she said, and guess what? His address popped up with his name in the landline. I said, really? She said, yes, and it's the same address he used to stay at. I said, interesting. I thought, well, maybe it's a family member since, you know, he and a group of his cousins were sharing the home of his uncle. She's like, okay, well, could be. And I thought about it. I'm like, let me just take a chance and just see. By this time, I had reliable transportation. I don't believe I had to work that day. So I went all the way up there to a deep suburb. I remembered the address in the house because it's very distinct. And it was right off the freeway, off of a major freeway. So I went ahead and put a note in the door saying, hey, I heard a little rumor that you're back in town checking to see if it's true. You know, give me a call, you know. And I left my name, work number, home number, something like that. Well, in less than a week, I got a call while I was at home, and it was a man's voice, and I instantly knew it was him because I'm not the type of female to be like distributing my number to anyone. And so I answered the phone, and you know, the guy was like, you know, hi, how are you? I'm like, I'm fine. And he was like, that's good. What are you doing? I'm like, I'm reading. He's like, what are you reading? And to this day, I remember the title of the book. It is Love, The Way to Victory by Kenneth E. Hagin. And he's like, oh, okay. He's like, well, do you know who this is? I said, yes, I do. And he's like, who is this? And I went ahead and said his name. He's like, that's right. And that was when he went on to tell me, he was like, do you know that, you know, I was only down south for a month. So then now, he don't remember. I have a very active, long memory. And I'm thinking to myself, like, N-word, you mean to tell me that I didn't hear from you in 2 months when you was back in one? That was the first thing. But I didn't say anything. Because it's like you find out what you need to hear by letting the person talk. And that was how I found out, you know, he was trying his hardest to find me. He was like, do you know I call every Payless in the white pages? Or, well, every Payless in the yellow pages trying to find you? I said, of course you couldn't find me because I never worked in Detroit. I always worked in the suburbs. And then, and at that time, I was still saved from, you know, the last time I saw him, which was 4 years prior. And at this time, I was also thinking, okay, he's probably saved now, serving the Lord, because when he proposed to me, he told me that the both of us need Christ Jesus in our life. That's the only way our marriage will work. He started asking me deep questions no one has never asked me before, as if I was on a job interview. He was serious. He was really serious. And so then that was how I found out he was ringing my buzzer of my apartment. You know, he said he would ring it once and hurry up and run to his car and wait just to see if I would look out. And he said if I would look out, then he would go ahead. He would have got the nerve to get up to talk to me. And that was when I let him know. I said, you know what? I said, there have been times I was at home and someone rung my buzzer once. I said, but you have to keep in mind, I said, people ring my buzzer, the wrong buzzer, all of the time. I said, so I kept thinking to myself, like, if someone ring my buzzer twice, then I'll get up to see who it is because I know it's for me. And so he was like, oh, wow. And so we talked, we chatted. He said that he still, he remembered the peace and the quiet, and that I had a mothering, nurturing love he had never experienced before. And he still purchases the
country passion peach tea that I used to serve him, just different things like that. And so he went on to share with me. He said, "Now I have to be honest with you. There is someone I have been seeing for the last 2 years." Now, mind you, it was 4 years since we lost contact. So, you know, him being with someone 2 years, that's understandable, because it's 4 years he haven't seen me, spoke to me. And so he was like, "Now, I can't tell you if I love them more than you, or if I love them more than you. He was like, "But, you know, if you want, we can, you know, talk and see how things go." I said, "I understand. That's fine." I was like, "Well, right now I'm a manager in Dearborn. And not to try to cause any problems, you're more than welcome to meet me at my store so we can talk." And he let me know that he was working for AT&T as a tech and then in customer service. And I'm like, "Oh, okay, that's good." And so I was just going to wait until I saw him in person to ask him the questions I wanted to know. Like, you know, did you find out if that was really your son? Did you really love me? And why did you leave without telling me? You know, those were like the main things I kind of really wanted to know. But I never got that opportunity, because he ended up stalking me at my job and never coming in, or driving by and never coming in, or and parked down the street from my home and not getting up the courage to actually walk up to my door. So sometimes you just gotta let sleeping dogs lie. And I think I may have given him more credit than I should have, because he was so kind. He was consistent. And when I say kind and consistent, his actions matched his words. There wasn't a time I was with him where, you know how some women go through their man's phone or wallet or pockets. He never made me feel like there was anyone in his life but me. I knew I was his one and only. I wasn't number one. I was his one and only. There was no two after one. I was it. And I knew it. And he made me feel that way. So me finding that he is now married to who seems to be a lovely young lady, I can't be angry with that. We're talking 20 years. You know, who keeps a torch? Yeah, there's some people who may keep a torch for someone in their heart and in their psyche, for someone who really made an impact on their life. But to conclude this episode, I just have to go ahead and share that with a dry eye, hallelujah, and that, you know, my God, our God is exceeding abundant above all we can ask or think. So how much more does God have someone who is reliable, awesome, phenomenal for me, just like he has someone awesome, phenomenal for him? Because he's most likely a tremendous blessing to his spouse, and I'm quite sure she is a phenomenal blessing to him. So, homework assignment. Only thing I can recommend is, if you know your emotions are still tied to someone else, especially if you found thought they have went on with their life, it's time to let that go. Don't be trying to find someone else who is a replica of that person, but they're not that person, or who kind of look or favor that person. Please don't, because that's just going to cause a lot of havoc, drama, issues, and pain that is totally unnecessary. God wants a person to be loved for who they are, not for who they remind you of. So that's your homework for this Keep It Simple series episode. Generally, something of this length, I would do this as a feed or a YouTube video, Facebook Live, something along those lines. That way you can see all of my facial gyrations as I go through sharing what had transpired. But I hope hearing the information about the one who was the love of my life. Super awesome. I hope it has encouraged you and let you know that, yes, you can take the bull by the horns. Yes, you can have a phenomenal life. But if that bull has found its cow, you know, let it be. Let sleeping dogs lie. So that's pretty much it. And no, I'm not calling a person a bull or a cow, but their mate, you know. So that's pretty much it. So if you would like to know more about me, you can follow me on a plethora of avenues. We have not only this Keep It Simple series podcast, you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook, which is God Giving University Publishing LLC, as well as my Facebook author page, which is Be Strong, Stay Strong. Last but not least, I have my author page, which is lalitawilliams.com, LalitaWillims.com, as well as GUPLLC.wordpress.com. Alrighty. Hopefully y'all will have a phenomenally phenomenal night. Bye-bye.